Hi there. Good morning, everyone. Now, how many of you think that Rachel Leach is an excellent kids worker? Isn't she? Yeah. And when she uses her gift of teaching with kids, doesn't it benefit us all? Not just the kids get blessed, but we do too, don't we? So we really thank God for that. Well, we are exploring a theme on spiritual gifts over these past weeks, and we're continuing with that. And it says this, we all have different gifts according to the grace given to us, Romans 12, verse 6. Now, it's very important that each one of us discover and use our spiritual gift. The reason why this, in the book of Corinthians, it says this, the gifts of the Spirit are a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. When you use the spiritual gift that God has given you, it reveals and releases and demonstrates the work, the presence, and the person of the invisible God. When you use your gift, it is a release of the presence or a manifestation, a demonstration of the presence and the power and the person of the Holy Spirit. So we are praying, Lord, I want more of you in my life. We want more of you in our church. One of the tools and the mechanisms and the vehicles in which the more of God come to us to touch us, encourage us, strengthen us, change us, empower us, equip us, heal us, restore us, free us, teach us, is when we all use our gifts. They're not just that, oh, that was cool, I got a prophecy, or I got a word of knowledge, or wonderful, somebody has been healed. No, it is God at work through the gifts. And so they're precious and powerful, very important why we use them. The other very important reason for using them is that the gifts are given to strengthen and build up the church as a whole. They are vital tools and a mechanism and spiritual technology for building up and spiritual nutrition, for building up us as individuals and us as the church for the common good, that we become more effective individually, corporately, in the call and the purposes that God has called us to in this world. Now, as you look through the Bible, you'll see there's four separate passages in the New Testament that refer to spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12. Then there's a passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, which are called the ascension gifts. And we'll talk about those, hopefully, in the not-too-distant future. And those are the gifts of Christ, the ministries of Jesus when he was on earth are now given to people, and they come in the form of the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher. And the ministries of Christ, believe it or not, continue on earth through people, and they're called the ascension gifts. We'll explore the importance of those at another time. Then if you look into Peter, he gives a little list of gifts. And Paul in Romans also gives us a list of gifts which are called the Romans 12 gifts or the gifts of grace. Now, there is a sense in which all of the gifts are gifts of grace. In other words, they're free. They're from God. We don't earn them. We don't deserve them. They're all gifts of grace. But Romans 12 particularly mentions a particular set of gifts that are different to 1 Corinthians 12. They're called gifts of grace, and they're associated with what motivates us, and they are more to do with lifestyle gifts, stuff that we do daily, and it's more intrinsic and natural to who we are as individuals. Let's just have a look at these gifts as we read them through together. For by the grace God has given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. For each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others, we have different gifts according to the grace God has given us. See that word grace? If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy according to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Or that word can be translated compassion. Now, we're going to look at the individual gifts alongside all the others in the rest of the Bible, one series at a time, and so Mark is doing serving tonight. But this is an introduction to this particular set of gifts that we call the Romans 12 gifts, the grace gifts, or the motivational gifts. It's not a complete list. This list is not complete. There are a whole bunch of other things that God has given us. But this is a sample, and the reason why Paul does this is primarily not to focus on the individual gift, but to help us understand how we should approach using our gift and how we should approach serving in the life of the church. Remember, we don't deserve these gifts. It's not because anybody has done anything special. You don't earn them. You can develop them in the sense that once you have a gift, you can sharpen it, develop it, mature it. But a talent or a gift that is not there, if it's not there, you can't put it in. But it is there, we can mature it and develop it. Many believe that these gifts are given at birth, or when God created you, this particular set of gifts in Romans 12, when God created you, he put that ability within you as a part of his perfect plan and design for you. So if you have a gift of teaching, he gave you that and created that ability. Now, it's probably a little bit of both, where God created you with the ability to teach, but also there is gifts that he will put in you at conversion or after conversion, like prophecy, because prophecy is a gift of the Spirit, and you can only do it if you have the Holy Spirit in you. You only get the Holy Spirit conversion. So this is a bit of a mixer. So some of them are wired up with who you are, and some of them will be given at conversion or subsequently later on in our experience with God. But this passage of Scripture gives us some real helpful instruction on how we can use these gifts faithfully and productively, not only in a way that rewards us, but more importantly, is a reward and a benefit to everybody. First point then, Paul says, use your gifts as a wholehearted service to God. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true spiritual worship. So the first way that we use our gifts is not say, oh, I want to use my gift. I want personal fulfillment. I want to feel satisfied. I want to feel useful. No, we come to God and we say, actually, God, this is a gift. This is a skill. This is a talent you've given me. And I come to you first, and I give my whole life to you as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, a living act of worship, a living act of service for you to use me in any way you want me to. That's the starting place. It is a gift used for the glory and the pleasure and the purposes of God. It's all about motivation. And so the starting place is to come to God humbly and yield our complete lives to him, that he may use our skills and our talents for his purpose, for his glory, and for the benefit of others. It involves the attitude in which we serve. Do you see what it says there? Offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true act of worship. And the way that we serve and the fact that we serve is just as much worship as the songs that we sang 10 minutes ago. What we do and how we do it is an act of worship. And so it involves the attitude and the motivation in which we serve, and it involves the conduct of our lives, holy and pleasing. So we can actually sabotage our act of worship and our effectiveness and the value and the integrity of the gift if our lives don't match up to our service. If I'm living one way and serving in the church using my gift, but my thought, my speech, my attitude, and my actions are not in keeping with the holy life of Christ, then actually it's a farce and it's empty. So it involves our attitude, it involves our service, It involves the conduct of our lives, and it involves our character. These are the starting places as we move forward in our gift. And everyone can do that. That is not within the realm, that beyond the reach of anybody, to make the choices to live with the help of God in the way that we should. Now, church should be built around the gifts. So, in other words, God has given each one of us talents and skills here. And that is an indicator of what God wants us to do. I remember when we first started the church 20 years ago, and there was like 9 of us, and, you know, we weren't very good at anything, were we? I mean, we were rubbish at a lot. And I thought, well, what can we do? I mean, we don't have any money. We don't have any professionals. There's no doctors, solicitors, architects, brain surgeons. I mean, we used to pray for brain surgeons probably we ended up people needing brain surgery. So that's a joke. It's terrible. But there we go. We didn't have a lot of talent. But one thing we noticed in those early days is this. We were good with kids and youth. So what we did, we went to the local school and we just used the talents that we had working with kids and youth in the area. And it was from that that we had an impact in the community, and upon that we gained a reputation, the church began to grow. You see, what God has given us is an indication of what he has called us to do. So we can't do everything, but we can do some stuff. So we build church around the gifts and the talents that we have. But again, because using our gifts is associated with dedication, sacrifice, commitment, and a devoted service to God, we have to put those things in place first. A teacher has to put the time in to prepare for their teaching. A leader has to govern and lead with diligence. A giver has to give selflessly. A prophet has to take faith risks and be faithful. Somebody who has the gift of hospitality has to open their life and their home up to others. An encourager has to look to the needs of others and not be self-centered or self-orientated so they can notice others. A compassionate person or a merciful person needs to identify with the weak and the pain in others. In other words, using these lifestyle gifts demands a level of cost, commitment, sacrifice, character, devotion. And that's why these gifts, in one sense, can be extremely beneficial and exciting, but actually they're some of the gifts that can be used the least. Because it's much easier to come in here on a Sunday morning and pray for somebody to be healed because it doesn't cost me anything. What does it cost me? A little bit of time and a prayer. It's much easier tonight on Sunday night when we have some worship and we might do some prophecy or words of knowledge or things like that to actually prophesy in a moment, 5 minutes, and it's done. And then I go. But these gifts, these motivational gifts, are lifestyle gifts that actually demand some sacrifice, some cost, and a way of living that qualifies us to be able to use them faithfully and consistently in the life of the church. And that's a challenge to us as each individual, isn't it? Because this church, like many other churches, may be packed to the brim with talent and gifts from God. But in order for them to be released and utilized, the cost, the sacrifice, the commitment, the lifestyle, whether you're the time you put in as a teacher, the diligence to the detail as a leader, the selfish listening, visiting, caring, being there for somebody who has the gift of compassion and mercy, it costs us, not just on a Sunday morning, but it's a way of life. And so our willingness to embrace the context in which the gift operates determines how much of these gifts get released in the life of any local church. It's not a one-time meeting. So that's the foundational approach. Then the other thing is that we should humble ourselves in the way that we think, says Paul. Think of yourselves with sober judgment in according with the faith that God has distributed to each one of you. Paul says to this when he starts this phrase. As an apostle, he says, I beseech you, give yourself as a living sacrifice. And we see in Paul how he puts this into practice. I'm an apostle by the grace of God. I don't deserve it. I didn't earn it. God called me to be apostle. There with confidence, I issue an apostolic command. Give yourselves unreservedly to God. I don't have any right within my own self to issue such a command. It is by the grace of God I've been called. But nevertheless, I have a responsibility and a call to say it because I'm an apostle. Do you see how by the grace of God, I don't deserve it, but with confidence, I exercise my gift. And we see here Paul modeling the confidence to use the gift, but the sober judgment and the walk of humility. We have to, when analyzing our gifts and contribution, look at ourselves with a sober judgment. Let's not get too inflated and think too highly than we ought. Let's not think too low of ourselves. Oh, I could never do that. If I went to Rachel Leach and said, Rachel, would you like to do the kid spot? Oh, I could never do a kid spot. That would be an inappropriate evaluation of herself, wouldn't it? Because evidently, she is a very good kids worker. Equally, we don't want to think too much or too little, but with correct, sober judgment. What gifts do you have? How developed are they? Are they in their infancy? Or are they maturing? What is your character and your sacrificial commitment level at? What gifts don't you have? That's an important question. What gifts don't I have? Don't go pursuing the gifts in Romans 12 that you don't have. If you're not a clear communicator, don't aspire to teach because you want to be on the platform. If you're not musical, don't say, oh, I'd love to be in the band, but all my D majors sound like D minors. If you fundamentally aren't musical, if it's in there, develop it, but it isn't. You can't develop what God hasn't put in. Discover and be honest with yourselves. Don't let pride or ego push you into a direction that isn't for you. But you do have gifts, and you do have talents that God wants to develop. And as it says in Romans, God fits them together where he wants them for the good of the whole. Let me also just qualify. In 1 Corinthians 12, where we're talking, there's another list of gifts called the gift of prophecy and the gift of wisdom and words of knowledge and healing. We can pursue these gifts if we don't have them. But they're not lifestyle gifts. They're not things that you're like born with. Your lifestyle. They are gifts that God will use you as a one-off from time to time in the moment. You can be used in those. But this is a different category of gifts. Am I communicating? So we're not confused. Yeah? Good. So some gifts we do pursue. And some gifts we say, what have I got? What can I develop? And fundamentally, what am I not? And we home in on the things that we have been given by God and develop those. Thirdly, we use our gifts to bless and strengthen and grow the church. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to the other. Now this is really very important and very interesting. Every single gift set within the New Testament is in the context of serving within the community of faith, the church, to make the church strong so that the individuals of the church and the church together may be effective in the world. Now, this is really important because Every single time a gift is mentioned in the church, in the New Testament, it is there to strengthen the church, the members of the church, and the body of the church. We belong to each other. Though we are many, we are one, and each has different functions for the sake of the common good and for the sake of the body. So this is very important, because many will say, and I have absolute sympathy with this, because in the past the church in the past has been so focused on serving within the four walls that it's neglected the workplace, the secular world, community, and all that goes on outside church of a Sunday morning meeting. In recent church history, churches all over the land have neglected the world out there for the sake of our lovely cozy meetings. So thankfully, we've had a really good redress of that, and people have begun to serve and see a greater sense of calling and purpose and influence of the kingdom of God in the workplace, in music and media and politics and community and so forth. That's a good, right, biblical address. But let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. Because every time gifts are mentioned in the New Testament, it is mentioned in the context of building up the body. So the individuals of the body and the church, the individuals of the church and the church may be more effective out there. And we cannot escape that fact that the primary first execution and use of the gifts is in the context of the local church and the community of faith, God's people. We cannot say, I have been called to the workplace or to the secular world, and therefore I will not use my gift, my talent, my skill amongst the community of faith, the church, when we gather together, or when we're in a small group, or however we organize ourselves. To say that is to neglect the biblical purpose of the gifts. The biblical purpose of the gift is that within the context of the community of faith and the different way we organize ourselves, use our gifts, individuals become strong, the church becomes strong, and therefore we become more effective out there. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. So how are you using your gifts to express what this scripture says, belonging to the church? It says this: each member belongs to the others. I'm sorry about this. You belong to me. Sorry. And I belong to you. In Christ and before the eyes of God, we are members of one body. My thumb, even when it's hurting, even when it's an irritation and a pain to my body because there's a splinter in it, is my body. And I need to treat it with respect and treat it with care and help it to be healed and whole, that it may not be an irritation, but it may be a blessing. We belong to each other. And therefore, I want to ask you this question: how are you using your gifts to bless the body? Is there something you need to do in order to be positioned that you can use your gift? Maybe your commitment level needs to go up. Maybe you need to get in line with the vision of the church needs to go up. Maybe an attitude or a lifestyle or an act or a behavior needs to be adjusted. Maybe you need to present yourself in whole dedication to God, that you may be positioned to be released and used. Or maybe you just need to have an evaluation and actually acknowledge the gifts that you do have and acknowledge the gifts that you don't. Or maybe you need to say, actually, I've got a load of gifts, but I'm not using them to serve the body of Christ at all. My boss is benefiting from them, but nobody in the church is. And maybe there needs to be some adjustments so that we can build up the body of Christ. Oh, I've got 6 minutes to go, and I think I can finish. That's just to give you hope, by the way. It might not be true. No, it's 6 minutes. Okay. Don't laugh, Gary. It's my gift of rebuke. Okay. We are to use our spiritual gifts by faith. As we look at this passage of Scripture, it says here, think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. Think of your gift, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy according to your faith. So what we have here, faith is very important. Now, this is quite vital. Let me explain why. We could use our natural talent, organization, leadership, caring, there's many gifts, quite naturally, because they're natural to us. Many of them, we have been born with this aptitude or this leaning to a particular way. We could use them quite naturally, not in devotion to God, and with not an exercise of faith that we want God to use us. We just get on and do it, because it's so natural to us. But the reason why Paul says use faith, because faith releases the energy, the presence, the power, and the activity of God when we do it as a service and a devotion to Him. When you use your gifts in service to Jesus by faith, they go from natural to supernatural. And they begin to release and manifest the person and the power of God. So when somebody is encouraging somebody in faith and they're down and they're emotionally distraught and are going through a hard time and they feel in a pit and the mercy or the encourager notices that and says, you know, I really feel drawn to encourage that person. You come alongside them, not just out of a human sympathy and a pat on the back, but as a service to Christ. And you say, Lord, really use my gift now and use me to encourage this person. And you're exercising faith and acting in faith. Do you know what happens? Christ, the encourager, is released through you. It is not the encouragement of you. It is the encouragement of Jesus operating through that gift. It goes into a totally different realm. When a teacher teaches in faith, when I come here and come up to teach, I pray, Lord, when I teach, I want you, Holy Spirit, to be teaching through me. Not Julian, the Holy Spirit. So when a teacher teaches in faith, it's as if Jesus is in the pulpit, teaching the church about his truth. When a prophet prophesies in faith, it is as if the very inspirational words of God are coming to the individual. When somebody shows mercy and compassion because somebody is hurting, it is the very tenderness of Christ. Not just, oh, wasn't that a lovely, kind person in the moment? No, it's the tenderness of Jesus. Actually, it is Jesus moving through that person. And that affects something. It's more than an encouragement in the moment. It is a transformation of Christ that takes place in their heart. Minds, attitudes, heart can be changed. Bondages can be broken because it is a ministry of the power of Jesus in them, which is always transformational rather than just an encouraging word or a listening ear. This stuff has power to change and build and transform the church. So Paul says, when we use our gifts, just don't look at them as, this is my thing, this is a natural talent. Do it in devotion to God, exercise faith, and as you do it prayerfully, as a ministry, dutifully, and you don't have to have a position to do this. There isn't an official, I am in the position of encourager in the church. There's my office door, encourager. I am the official person of giver in the church. There's my office. Could I speak to the giver in the church, please? I am the official giver of tender mercy, compassion. You don't have a position to do a whole bunch of this stuff. We just get on and do it. in devotion to Jesus by faith. But all over the place, people are getting healed and they're getting encouraged. But not just in the moment, because it's God downloading through you. Lives are being transformed moment by moment, encouragement by encouragement, conversation by conversation, prayer by prayer, an arm around a shoulder with an arm around the shoulder. Every time, and the whole body becomes to grow up, as Ephesians says, it grows up in love as each part does its work. And so the exercise of faith and service and ministry to God in all this is powerful and profound. It's absolutely fantastic. And it feels natural, but it's the transmission that comes through you is divine. And it has powerful results. Isn't that an encouragement to use your gifts? So, present yourself wholly as a service to God. Think of yourself with sober judgment. Evaluate effectively what God has given you. Position yourself to use the gift. Use it in faith and be an instrument for not just activity, but for divine transmission that is transforming to others. And see this church and the churches around the nation transformed as churches all over the place use their divine gift. So in conclusion, I'd like to pray together. And I'd like us to close our eyes if we may. And just reflect on what I've been talking about. Just calm your hearts. The Bible says, present yourself as a living sacrifice to God. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that now if you feel Holy Spirit has talked to you, taught you, challenged you, yes, called you to use your spiritual gifts in a fresh, new way, out of a new understanding. And if you're willing to be a living sacrifice and to live a sacrificial life, to dedicate your life and your talents, your gifts and abilities to serving the church and others in the world, then thoughtfully and seriously, I'd like you to stand as an act of dedication, presenting yourself to God. Here I am, God. In this moment of standing, I am physically presenting my body and all the gift and talent that resides within it to you, that I may be a holy, living, practical expression of service and worship. And then if you do that, I'm going to pray that God will accept your sacrifice and bless it and empower it with his presence that you may more effectively live for his glory. So if that's how you feel called to respond to God right now, as the Holy Spirit has taught you through my inadequate words, do that now. I'm going to encourage you just to open your hands, turn your hands up to God, that you may receive the gift of his presence, his grace, and his power. And as I pray, this is a holy moment, accept it by faith. Just say, we have prayed, I have done it, I accept it. And leave this place to live every moment differently, with a greater sense of intentionality, and expect to see your gifts mature, grow, become increasingly used, and as the Bible says, God make way for the giver. That there will be opportunities presented as you put all of these things into practice. Holy Spirit, we welcome you now into our presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. come in your presence and give each one of us, each one, power and grace, an activation of faith, energy and wisdom and zeal to serve you. Reveal the gifts in this body. Show each one what you have given them, and in kindness, reveal the things that you have not primarily called them to. Help us to be holy, devoted, servant-like, sacrificial, committed to you, to belong to one another. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, receive the anointing and the empowerment of the Spirit, the wisdom and the grace of God to serve him with fruitfulness. And we receive these things now, Lord, by faith, in Jesus' name. Amen.